excerpts from the book of Joel, chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is thy God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity the people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. This is Lou Cavalli with a Christian news program, The Divided Kingdom. Heard on WWCR.com at 4.840 megahertz, Thursdays evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also on the Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m. and repeating at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli. Lou, the biblical warning you read from Joel couldn't be more apropos in a time when Hosea 4:6 fits many, but not all, of the American pastors and churches. Quote, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. End of quote. An apparent judgment by God is slowly enveloping America, with radical Islam being brought in via clandestine operations. Captain Daryl Eberhardt reported on our program May 25th concerning busloads of Muslims being bussed in by the highest level Pennsylvania government officials. Eberhardt's warning of seeing one Saudi in western Pennsylvania wearing what looked to be a captain's uniform or a decal on it only echoes all the documentation of InfoWars' Paul Joseph Watson in Great Britain, who discusses the lack of families and the preponderance of Muslim men of military age flooding Europe, now being picked up conveniently from Libya and ferried to Italy, backed by the George Soros money and some organizations that Watson mentioned, perhaps including Save the Children and others. You can hear this vital program on which Captain Eberhardt talked about the radical slower invasion of America by the radical Islam jihadist people. And you can go to our website. It should soon be in there, thedividedkingdom.org. But you will probably be able to hear this vital program that we're talking about from May 25th at lwrn.net. And again, it's lwrn.net on Saturday, June the 10th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So we really do urge you to spread the word to other Christians who need to be awake, to other churches, to pastors who want to know the truth and don't want to have the blood on their heads. Like Jose says, you know, if the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, who has failed to give them that knowledge? So So we do pray for God to let our program grow and reach many more so that the churches of America can wake up. But now we must move on to some shocking things. We have to focus on the shocking dichotomy of the divided kingdom. You know, even as President Donald Trump and Mrs. Trump presented a dignified, classy ambiance to the European leaders upon their triumphal return, we again see the out-of-control, vitriolic, satanic activity in the deranged, reprobate mind. Hillary Clinton at Wellesley calling for Donald Trump's impeachment. And, of course, the biggest news everywhere is so-called comedian Kathy Griffin holding the replica of a Trump-like severed head, and apparently even CNN, that bastion of ultra-liberality, has dumped her. And the head person in the Liberty Movement suggested making a T-shirt with her head severed, and I only hope that he will realize this is far from being Christian and that this very terrible idea will not take place. This is not what being a Christian is about. But we've had to take a side road here tonight, away from Islam temporarily. Conspiracy? Without a doubt, Satan's long war on God has gone on since the time Adam and Eve decided to become, quote, as gods and eat the forbidden fruit. Many, including us, have brought out knowledge of various factions of the Illuminati plot, with the Rothschild / Rockefeller connections, with the early 20th century Loeb Kuhn, and J.P. Morgan banking interests, and many others involved in financing the Bolshevik Revolution. Not as often explored, and we'd have to ask why, on the so-called Patriot Networks, is the Vatican Jesuit role in world events, operating stealthily or not so stealthily through intelligence organizations and even infiltrating Protestant pulpits. We have heard Alex Jones discuss lately that we have, quote, a Jesuit pope, a black pope, and that this pope has made, we have all heard these quotes. We don't need Alex Jones to tell us. We've heard quotes in which the present pope has denigrated Western civilization, Christianity, in the Middle East. So something is not adding up here, and even a lot of American Roman Catholics are not happy about the changes in the more conservative view that their church has always had. So we're looking at these things, and we have to realize that the Inquisition is in the past for now. The Civil War's true story is often camouflaged. Again, on these so-called Patriot Networks, we always have a lot of anti-Semitism, and we have a lot of waving of the Confederate flag. There's nothing wrong with many of those Confederate men. Absolutely, Robert E. Lee was a very godly man. But we're never told the full truth. And history never recurs exactly as it happened before, but as one writer said, it's like an echo. It echoes again. And now we have to get to the heart of our concern that made us invite Captain Daryl Eberhardt back, not to go into part two of Radical Islam, which is so important, and you will want to hear it on the next program, but we have to now look at some facts that perhaps are just insinuations, innuendos, but we do know that Supreme Court Justice John Roberts went to Malta to get an award. This was in one of the major publications of news like Time Magazine. This was after Obamacare was brought in because of the judicial activism. And then we note that a few months ago, there was a politicians and journalists dinner in which they like to roast people. And we heard about this from a columnist, Georgianne Geyer. And in this column that talked about this dinner in which Trump decided not to attend, we had Vice President Mike Pence there. And they quoted some people, including Nancy Pelosi, who said to him, "You are one of us." And now the next little note is that Mike Pence himself in Time magazine has described himself as, quote, an evangelical Catholic. And we know that he's very, very close to Paul Ryan, who is also a very strong Roman Catholic. We're not pointing out people who are just Roman Catholic here. We want to make that clear. We have a lot of Roman Catholic friends. Lou and I once taught in a Roman Catholic school. We have a lot of affection for our friends and colleagues from those days. And even though we don't accept the full Marian theology, we believe she was a human being, and we would never pray to her. We do not think that this is correct theology, but so be it. You see, we can live and let live. Those who want to worship in that way, they are at least worshiping Jesus Christ. And we know some Roman Catholics who have a very strong love of Jesus Christ, and will he not forgive some of the heresy? I think the Protestant church has plenty of heresy, too. But I think that we leave that in God's hands. But we do pray that any of you out there who are either Protestant or Roman Catholic, that you get to that Bible. And we fully recommend the King James Version. We ask you to start reading the scripture and praying and developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in which you turn your whole life over to him and you say, what do you want me to do? And guide me to wisdom. And he will. If he doesn't want you praying to Mary, you will find in the Old Testament the people who were worshiping the Queen of Heaven and what God thought about that. You will find so much if you turn to God. And we want to make this very clear that we have admired a lot of things that Vice President Mike Pence has been involved with. First of all, it seemed like a great, faithful Christian witness, his involvement with the Right to Life marches and the Mexico City Agreement. Absolutely, these look so straightforward and true. But as watchmen, we are going to have to bring up something we have heard. Now, this is an allegation. We can't say that this is true or not true. Mike Cernovich came on to InfoWars, and several weeks ago, he talked about some of the transitional Trump employees, and they were working for a man named Johnny DeStefano. And there were possibly 800 to 1,000 of these. And the worry was that these people would be sent back home. And a lot of them had given up a lot to travel with Trump. And they were there. They could have been wonderful permanent employees. But these people were going to be sent home. And then, you see, we would get more of these lower-level Obama-type people being put in to create this hedge that stops Trump from doing what we elected him to do. So this concern was hanging there. We didn't know what happened to these people. So a couple weeks went by, and then Mike Cernovich came back on talking to Alex Jones, and they asked him whether these people had been sent back home. And he said they had, and that Vice President Mike Pence told them, or told the, I guess, remaining people, that within 120 days, you'll be able to put anyone in office you want to. And Alex Jones said, wow. Now, this is our concern. Is there something down the road in which we have to repeat history? And a lot of you do not know what happened in the Civil War. You do not know about Abraham Lincoln. And you only hear the demonization of Abraham Lincoln on the Patriot networks. You don't hear about Father Charles Chiniquy and what Lincoln told him. And with that, we want to now give Captain Darrell Eberhardt a lot of time because he's done years of research on this topic. Welcome to the program, Captain Darrell Eberhardt.
Well, thank you for the introduction. And first, let me say again that I am so honored to again Beyond the Divided Kingdom broadcast with Lou and Elizabeth Caverly, two courageous Christians who are trying to be good watchmen on the wall and warning Americans of approaching danger. And I personally believe that America is in the greatest danger that she has ever been in since the lead up to the bloody American Civil War of 1861 to 1865. And that was a war which had been planned by foreign powers. And we're looking at a kind of a similar situation today with help and guidance from the Jesuit-controlled papacy, a war which was fomented by a Jesuit front group called the Knights of the Golden Circle. I believe their headquarters was in Cincinnati, Ohio. And on May 31st, 2017, it was reported on the Alex Jones InfoWar broadcast that George Soros and his minions plan mass riots for the United States of America in early July 2017. I believe InfoWars called them the July 3rd riots that are planned. Dear listeners, evil people who are controlled by secret societies are trying once again to foment a bloody civil war in the United States of America that I believe will pit the far left, which includes anarchists and communists, against real Americans who love the United States Constitution and who love freedom. And this civil war that I believe that is coming soon, and hopefully God will give us some more time. We don't know, but this civil war will probably also pit blacks against whites, blacks against law enforcement personnel, as we've seen before, Muslims against non-Muslims, etc. These evil globalists want to create the chaos and the anarchy in the United States that would, during that period, that where they would try to overturn the presidential election and or to settle scores with those who have been trying to stand for truth and expose their evil globalist plan. So we really, really need to cover these things, the threat from Islamic immigration and the threats from secret societies. But before we start this important topic, I'd like again to make two requests of the listeners. If you appreciate your hosts of the Divided Kingdom broadcast, and they've sacrificed, they've worked through illness, etc., to bring these broadcasts to you, Lou and Elizabeth Caverly, then please consider sending them a thank you card, just telling them how much you appreciate them and how much you appreciate the broadcast that they bring to you. And God willing, I will be recommending several books and a couple good internet websites during the broadcast. So please do, when you get a little break there, grab a pen or a pencil or a piece of paper when you step away from the radio or however you're listening early on in the broadcast. And I would urge the listeners to obtain some of these books dealing with the topic of today's broadcast. And Lou and Elizabeth, if I may, I read just a very short Bible verse that I hope will challenge all of us to stand against evil.
Yes, and before you do, I omitted one little fact on Mike Pence, that in Time magazine, he characterized himself as an evangelical Catholic. So I think we need to put that on the record. Go ahead, Captain Everhart.
Sure. And the Apostle Paul here is writing the following words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Christians that were in the city of Ephesus. And so this is from Ephesus 5:11, from the 1611 Authorized King James Version. He said, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That means we bring it to light. We let people know. We expose them. And since we'll probably be touching on secret societies somewhat in this broadcast, I'd like to give the listeners a very appropriate quotation of our first and only Roman Catholic president, John F. Kennedy, concerning secret societies. And I think it's so appropriate for this broadcast. John Kennedy, JFK, said, "The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it." And President John F. Kennedy made that in a speech to the press club. And since time flies by so quickly during these broadcasts, I'd like to just mention a couple websites to the listeners. And it doesn't mean we always agree with everything that's said or put out in these websites, but they are important to get good, real news. And I think it's very updated news with excellent analysis Monday through Friday. I would encourage the listeners to go to Infowars.com and listen to Paul Joseph Watson and Roger Stone and Dr. Jerome Corsi and, of course, Alex Jones, who heads that up, because they are telling the truth about what's going on with the Islamic invasion. They do mention that Pope Francis leading the Roman Catholic Church down the wrong path. And there's another, and I do hope you have your pencils and pens handy, Infowars.com. And the other one is chick.com, and that's like chicken, a baby chicken, C-H-I-C-K, chick.com. And that's where the listeners can find many good materials, tracks, booklets, books, and DVDs dealing with a number of important topics, such as the Bible version issue or controversy. They have a lot of good books on that, on Islam, and a lot of good materials, tracks, and books on that. And the Jesuits. They actually have a very good book on how the Jesuits' fingers were all over in fomenting World War I and World War II. Or for those of you who, like me, are in the Stone Age, as people tell me, who don't have internet, here is a phone number where you can call them and ask for a color catalog. And it has lots of good materials also on Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, etc. So they cover a lot of different subjects, and that phone number is 909-987-0771, and I'll give it again. And again, ask them to send you a copy of their latest color catalog, 909-987-0771. And I would like to just tell them briefly about my background, because I'm certainly not anti-Catholic. I love many individual Roman Catholics. I was born into a family where my dad was Roman Catholic, my mom was Methodist. Most of my relatives and friends are all Roman Catholic. I grew up attending a high school where almost everyone was a Roman Catholic. My town is 75% Roman Catholic. If you go up and down either direction, you run into towns that are 90% Roman Catholic. So I love many individual Roman Catholics. And I think Elizabeth put it quite well, that they also know a number of Roman Catholics. So we're not anti-Roman Catholic. But as John Kennedy was, we are anti-secret societies that run intelligence communities, run banking, and basically economically rape countries, put people into economic slavery, overthrow governments, assassinate heads of state. That none of that can ever be justified. No, the ends do not justify the means all the time, certainly. So we just wanted to put that out, that this is not anything anti-Catholic. But the Jesuit order is something that needs to be looked at, and the Knights of Malta that they control, because the Knights of Malta are all over the intelligence community. They were all over the John F. Kennedy assassination, especially in blocking any true information from making it to the Warren Commission through Knights of Malta that were high levels in both the CIA and the FBI. So they totally controlled the Warren Commission. As a matter of fact, one of the men that Jim Garrison went after to bring charges against for involvement in the JFK assassination was Clay Shaw, who was tied into the CIA and who was also a Knight of Malta. So these Knights of Malta have been all over the intelligence communities from at least the time of the World War II on, and probably earlier than that. And that's why we need to know about them. Let me see here. Let me just also mention that I did take Catholic catechism courses. I did marry a Roman Catholic lady. And so I know quite a bit about the Roman Catholic Church. And that's an interesting story that we'll probably save for some other time when I went through the catechism courses. The problem with the Roman Catholic priest that was in charge of mine is the same problem that I ran into with a lot of, I knew at least four or five Methodist pastors quite well. And that is that a lot of them don't have knowledge of the Bible. They're taught more on fundraising, social gatherings, and how to make people feel warm and fuzzy and give nice warm and fuzzy sermons that don't offend anybody. But basically, you have the same problem in both the Roman Catholic Church and a lot of the mainline Protestant denominations, and that is a lack of knowledge of the Bible. So again, I think we just wanted to get all of that out to let you know that we're definitely not anti-Catholic as far as individual Roman Catholics go. And I think you put it quite well. We all need to get as close to God as we can. We all need to be in our Bibles as much as possible. We all need to be praying as much as we can for others, such as for the protection of President Trump and his family, and for the protection of Lou and Elizabeth Caverly and others that are standing against the evil that we see in our country today. And I want to tell you how important it is to know about the Knights of Malta, because I just made but before we start that, I want to mention that we have a very unusual situation in the world right now. Most white popes, and they call the white pope to distinguish him from the head, the Jesuit superior general, the head of the Jesuit order, who is called the black pope because he wears black all the time. The white pope wears white. And almost all of them die in office. They don't retire. They don't resign. But for the first time in history, we've got three living black popes. Count Peter Hans Kolbenbach resigned about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe longer. He was replaced by Adolfo Nicholas, and they just had a new pope, I think from Venezuela, black pope elected. So we've got three black popes, and I don't remember his name, living today. We've got two white popes living. You have a pope emeritus, his name is Pope Benedict XVI, the former Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, who interestingly was served, I think, four or five terms as the head of the, I think they call it the, well, it's really the Inquisition, but they have a fancy name for it today, and I just can't think of it right off the top of my head. It's a Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. But it's the old office of Inquisition. And of course, we have Pope Francis, who will probably be eventually Pope Francis I. And that's George Mario Bergoglio, who just happened to be the provincial Jesuit general down in Argentina. And he's also the first openly Jesuit pope. He's also, and this is very little known, except for maybe some people in Argentina, he's the first pope to ever have human rights abuses brought against him charges, because he, according to two of his Jesuit, much lower level Jesuits, who were betrayed to the right wing government in Argentina and tortured, they felt he hung them out to dry. So that's some interesting information. But to have three black popes and two white popes all living at the same time, it's totally unheard of. And you just kind of wonder, why didn't these guys die in office? Why are there so many of them out there? Do they have some super plans here for what we would look at maybe the end times in the country? So I want to get now to the Knights of Malta, because I made a little list here, and it'll just show you some of the great power they've had over not only British intelligence during World War II, Russian intelligence during World War II, German intelligence on the Eastern Front during World War II, but also in the setting up of the CIA here. So, and also in funding Hitler. So here's just a few Knights of Malta that I marked down, and I could probably triple or quadruple this list with just a little bit more investigation with some of the other books I have. Friedrich Fritz Thyssen, he's a baron. He was a German baron, big industrialist. He was a big financial supporter of Adolf Hitler, And he was pardoned by Council on Foreign Relations, and you can see how these all tie together, John J. McCloy. Then you had a Knight of Malta named Frederick Flick, a German steel magnate who financed Hitler. Then you had a Knight of Malta named Prescott Bush Sr., who was an American partner of the German Knight of Malta, Frederick Flick. You had a CI director named George J. Tenet, who was Jesuit-trained Knight of Malta. You had a Knight of Malta named Alexander M. Haig, Jr., the Army commander of NATO, the Secretary of State under President Ronald Reagan. You have Knight of Malta Henry Robinson Luce. He was an American media mogul, Time and Life magazine, also Council on Foreign Relations member. A Knight of Malta named John A. McCone, who was a CIA director. I believe he was appointed by JFK. You had James Jesus Angleton, Knight of Malta, decades-long head of the Central Intelligence Agency's counterintelligence branch, one of the most powerful branches in the CIA. He was an OSS officer, strategic services officer, in Rome during the war. You had a Knight of Malta named William J. Casey, who was a CIA director. And I was at the National Security Agency twice while a member of the Air Force, once down there for language training. And the decades, and I also worked 6 years at the National Security Agency, the decades-long deputy director of the National Security Agency was a Knight of Malta named Louis Tordella. And basically, he ran the place. The generals and the admirals came in, and they were titular heads. He ran the day-to-day business. He saw what materials got to them and what materials got to the power brokers in the United States. He had a Knight of Malta named by the way, James Jesus Angleton was the CIA liaison to the Warren Commission. Now we have another Knight of Malta named Cartha D. Deloach, Deke Deloach, FBI assistant director. He was the FBI liaison to the Warren Officer Commission. Do you see how when you place your people in key positions, you can control bottleneck information that is critical to the people above you and also serve your masters who do not have the best interests of the country in mind. Another Knight of Malta was Reinhard Gehlen. He was a German general. He was in charge of intelligence on the Eastern Front. He helped set up the American CIA. You had a Knight of Malta named Kim Philby, who was in the British intelligence. By the way, some of these people were double agents. Knight of Malta William Joseph Wild Bill Donovan. He was the founder of the OSS, which was the predecessor to the CIA. He was, again, a Knight of Malta. George J. Tenet was a director of the CIA, Knight of Malta. Prince Anton Terkel was a Knight of Malta. He was in charge of Soviet intelligence. So we can get a picture by kind of connecting all these dots and seeing that the Knights of Malta are all over the major intelligence agencies, and the intelligence agencies are the ones that spy on people, including the people of their own nation, and they are the ones that are in charge of black operations, paramilitary-type operations for assassinating people that are getting either out of hand or being a little bit too nationalistic. And we've had our president, Donald Trump, threatened more or less by a sitting senator, Charles Schumer of New York, who basically, here's what he said. President Trump isn't very smart. He's upsetting the intelligence community, and I believe his exact words were, they have 7 ways from Sunday of taking care of you. Was he implying that they'll take you out like they were involved in taking out President John F. Kennedy? To have a sitting senator make that kind of a threat? And so the problem that we have is we've got these people all over the intelligence community. They're all over the banking community. And it's, again, it's the Jesuit-controlled Roman Catholic order called the Knights of Malta. And that control runs deep. And to have them threatening a sitting president, I think, is quite out of line. And I believe what Alex Jones and the others are saying on InfoWars is true. We're in a little mini civil war right now within the government because of all of these holdovers from the Obama administration. Trump can't seem to get his people appointed, and because of security clearances and the bottlenecks that are being created by some of these people in the intelligence community and the FBI. So, Lou and Elizabeth, do you feel that Donald Trump is being greatly hindered by having all of these Obama holdovers?
Oh, yes, we do. And if this allegation about Vice President Pence is true, that he told these people that are waiting there for the Johnny DeStefano people to leave, that if they wait 120 days, they'll be able to put anyone they want in, that 120 days could have been dependent on the impeachment. And now we also want you definitely, this is very, very informative, we want you also to make sure in this program that we can get back into this civil war and see that this conspiracy was here before, too. We don't want to rush you. I think we have about maybe 25 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that, I believe.
Right, and that was the next thing I was going to mention is that, and I want to, the folks, again, please write this down because there's two books in one volume that cover so much good history that's been buried in this country. It's a little mom and pop type publisher, small publishing company, and they don't take credit cards, so I'm going to have to give the address twice. And I'll give you a couple books to get from them. That are excellent books, but it's called Ozark Books, and that's Ozark, O-Z-A-R-K Books, Ozark Books, Post Office Box 3703, and I'll give that again, Springfield, Missouri, M-O-6-5-8-0-8. Again, it's Ozark Books, Post Office, and I know the people, the husband and wife that run that, they're dear Christian people. Ozark Books, Post Office Box 3703, Springfield, Missouri, M-O-6-5-8-0-8. And I'll talk a little bit about the book first, but I want to tell you, and you don't need to write the two names of the books down. Just ask for the Lincoln Assassination Book. Lincoln Assassination Book. Now, I'll tell you it's two books in one volume, and don't write it down. Just ask for Lincoln Assassination. But it's called, the first book is Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln by Thomas M. Harris, late Brigadier General of the Union Army. And that was published in 1897. The other book, and again, don't write it down, The Suppressed Truth About the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, that was written and compiled by Burke McCarty. She was she might have been an ex-nun. I know she was an ex-Roman Catholic. And between those two books, you will see a history in the United States where this war was planned. It went at least all the way back to the early 1800s. There was a Congress of Vienna in 1814 and 1815. It was run by a guy named Prince Metternich, but they nicknamed him Mitternach Midnight, Prince Midnight. He was so evil. But that was sponsored by the Jesuits, and they got some of the monarchs of Europe together, and they were so afraid that the Republican type of government and the freedoms that the American people enjoyed, they looked upon it as a virus, as a plague that would spread to Europe. And so they started making plans back in 1814 and 1815 to take the United States down. And of course, they eventually settled on the plan of having a civil war in the United States that would be fomented by this Jesuit front group that was called the Knights of the Golden Circle. And they were headquartered in Cincinnati, and they were going down, and they were telling the Southerners, you need to revolt, you need to revolt, we'll provide rifles, you need to revolt. In other words, they were trying to get the people all fired up. Over the course, they used the issue of slavery. And then later on, in Verona, Italy, they got back together in 1822, were fine-tuning these plans, and then they had a third meeting of just the Jesuits in 1825. Again, all this history, whatever of it was that was in our history books initially, and probably a lot of it wasn't, has been stripped out of there. But they met in Chieri, C-H-I-E-R-I, Chieri, Italy, and I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but the Jesuits got, the top-level Jesuits got together in 1825, and they fine-tuned the plans to try to destroy the American Republic through a bloody civil war. And of course, they got one going, and we saw the results of hundreds of thousands of Americans killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. And one of the probably the highest casualty war we had at up till that time. Far more people were killed in that war and wounded and maimed. And this war, again, came from a Jesuit front group. And of course, the only thing that saved America from further bloodshed and possibly going down was a czar, Russian czar, who when the Spanish and the English and possibly the French were all looking like they were going to come in on the side of the South. And I think it was Tsar Alexander too. But anyway, the Tsar Alexander of Russia threatened, well, he did send part of his fleet over and put them under the direct command of Abraham Lincoln. And he threatened that if France and England, and again, Spain was also thinking of coming in, but if France and England came in on the side of the South, then he was going to send Russian troops on the side of the Union. So a Russian czar helped save the American Union. And again, this is all information that has been taken out of our history books, or if it was ever there. So I would urge you to read that book, to get it and read it again. Just ask for the Lincoln assassination book. Now, you're going to have to send them a check or money order in U.S. funds only, made out to Ozark Books. And just again, ask for the Lincoln assassination book. And that's $15 to USA addresses, $15. And if you're Canadian or someplace else overseas, you're going to have to send $20. Again, U.S. funds only. I'm sorry they don't take credit cards, but you'll have to make the check or money order out to Ozark Books. Again, O-Z-A-R-K. I think you will love this book. And Lou and Elizabeth, do you have this book?
We're going to have to check to make certain. We're not certain, but if we don't, we'll want to get it.
Because if you don't, I have an extra... Go ahead.
Well, we'll let you know if we don't have it. And I'd like to bring up something. We hear a lot of things on the shortwave that are always, I think, covering up the Jesuits. For instance, we had one person lately, and he has an interesting theology, universalism, that everybody eventually will be saved, so we can't really accept that. And he has some things about the identity that, of course, some of the Israelites may have gone to the islands and become the Celtic people. I don't have a big problem with some of that. But what he said recently, there were two things that I think you might respond to. One of the things was that he said Adam Weishaupt, who we know formed the Illuminati, that he really was controlled by the Rothschilds. And we know that he was a Jesuit. The other thing was he had a whole program on the Civil War, and he was trying to talk about all the Rothschild agents, and one of them was Judah P. Benjamin. I wonder if you can situate, I know that you have said that you think that the Rothschilds are the Vatican banker.
That's one of their titles. The Rothschild family is called one of their titles is Guardians of the Vatican Treasury. And a lot of people believe that the Rothschilds are what you would call nominal Jews. And another name that they've been given is Papal Jews. And that, you know, I walked, and this is an interesting story, and I don't know if you and Lou know about it, but I kind of walked away from the alternative media for maybe 7 or 8 years because almost, and I won't name the network, but almost everybody on there was blaming the Jews for everything.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And that has been. Do you have a comment there, Lou? Because I just picked up on that. And again, I'm not going to name the network, but it.
Well,
they have
that,
five. Or six.
We've noticed that too. We've noticed that very much, and it is a big turnoff to us as well.
Oh yes, when one of the radio hosts had another. We aren't going to name this person, but this person is still on shortwave, and it's a constant litany against the truth of the Holocaust and everything else. So that particular person was a guest on another person's program, another Patriot, so-called Patriot broadcast, and he was talking about the shooter of Gabrielle Giffords, the congresswoman, and he said he was a racial Jew. And when Lou and I heard that, I discussed that with Lou, and Lou said I would have immediately thrown him off the air. You see, we can see there's hatred, there's true anti-Semitism. Now, we're trying to get to the truth, and we think that probably the Rothschilds do form part of the Illuminati, and perhaps these Ashkenazi Jews who maybe don't have the same DNA as the true Jews, there may be some truth. But what we're seeing is what you saw. It seems as though the Jesuits were never mentioned on these networks. It seems that the only bad guys were the Jews, and then you mix that in with some very, very horrible lies about the Holocaust. And we know Anita Dittmann personally, and she was 15. She lived through it. She's told us a lot about it. We know that when Eisenhower went into Dachau, what they saw, there are hundreds of thousands of people who could document what happened. There was an old veteran here in Easton, Maryland, a few years back, and he had a little letter to the editor, and I phoned him, and he saw. He was an eyewitness to all of it, but he wouldn't come on our program. It was too upsetting to him. So, yes, we do know that you walked away from that network, and we think that we were dumped from that network, possibly because we told too much truth.
I think the Lord led us to this topic today. I really do, because let's first go back to Adam Weishaupt, because it's a perfect example of something. They often cry out, "Oh, Stalin was a Jew." I mean, if you have someone like one person out of 800 of your relatives was a half-Jew, you're going to be labeled a Jew. Stalin was trained by the Jesuit. Adam Weishaupt, they claim, is a Jew. But Adam Weishaupt taught canonical law at Ingolstadt College. It later became a university in Bavaria, a deep area for the Jesuits, heavily Roman Catholic area. They said he left the Jesuits. We call that sheep dipping in the military. If you're in the U.S. military, Air Force, Army, Marines, and you go to work for the CIA, they'll take you off the rolls of the military, but you'll still continue to get time and grade, time and service, even promotions. And then when you're done with the CIA, all of a sudden you pop back up, put your uniform on, and go about your business and finish your military career. That's called sheep dipping. That's what happened to Jesuit Adam Weishaupt. He set up the Illuminati as a front, a Jesuit front. And the Jesuits do this all the time, just as they did in the American Civil War with their front group, the Knights of the Golden Circle. They set up a front group so that they're in the background. The other group takes the blame, because most of the people that were involved in the Lincoln assassination were Knights of the Golden Circle. It wasn't just Booth who was a Knight of the Golden Circle. Many of them were Knights of the Golden Circle, and there were quite a few people, as you know from my previous broadcast on that, quite a few of the people involved in the massive Lincoln assassination were Knights of the Golden Circle. So the Jesuits form a front group. They sit in the background, and they'll blame it on their front group, or they'll blame it on the Jews. And again, that's why I walked away from the alternative media for so long, because I just constantly heard, well, he was a racial Jew. This one, a guy was a Jew. And they do the same thing with Trump's administration. They'll say, and there's not that many of them, but they'll say, Gary Kahn, he's a Jew. Jared Kushner, he's a Jew. And I think you know the type of people that do that. But they won't say, oh, this guy's a Roman Catholic. Well, almost all the military people are all Roman Catholics. And they won't say, this guy's a Knight of Malta, but they'll say, or a Knight of Columbus. But there are just so many of them out there that want to blame everything on the Jews. And unfortunately, if you'll study the history of Europe, how many times did the Jews get blamed by both the Russian Orthodox Church at times? They had pogroms, or pogroms, as some people say. The Roman Catholic Church blamed the Jews for the plague, for accused them of stealing children and draining their blood. But it's this constant thing of blaming everything on the Jews, whether your town has a famine or that. And for these people to keep carrying this out, and the Holocaust denial thing, and you know there's regular callers that call into these broadcasts. There was one that called in recently on one of the weekend broadcasts that a pastor was on his broadcast, and he says, do you know what the most antichrist religion in the world is? And he said, Judaism is, not the pastor, but the caller answered his own question. He says, well, it's Judaism. How many Jews are there in the world? How many Muslims are there in the world? How many Roman Catholics are there in the world? To try to blame all of the New World Order, all of the troubles of the world, the claims that the Jews are trying to dominate the world and run the world, I find am I wrong in saying one of the biggest lies I've ever heard? This idea of the Jews carried out the total Bolshevik Revolution. Dr. Stan Monteith wonderfully pointed out, he said, yes, there were some Jews involved, but what happened? He says almost every single Jew on the Politburo was murdered shortly after the revolution. Well, if the Jews were running everything, why did they murder almost every Jew in the Soviet Politburo? And there's a lot of things that Dr. Stan brought out. He says everyone accuses the Jews of being all the big bankers that financed it, but Dr. Stan named a number of the biggest bankers in that, and they were like U.S. bankers in that were not Jews.
Perhaps you would like to know that after we were unceremoniously let go from a network, there was a sister network that was much more rabidly anti-Semitic, and Dr. Stan, in his later days, said to me, did you know that something like that happened to me from the other network? They just let him go without a word. And when we had Pastor Carl Sanders with us, he remained on that more anti-Semitic network longer than we did. And he said he was trying to bring the light there, but it finally came to where he was being coerced to accept commercials that were anti-Semitic along with his program, and then he wouldn't do it. It looks like a very big kind of camouflage, a big kind of smokescreen. We've heard about Operation Mockingbird. So, you know, I think there are a lot of people who are gullible out there. And, you know, if you have hate in your heart, it will make it easy for you to believe that there was never a Holocaust. They call it the Holocaust industry. This is shameful. And, Lou, I know you have feelings about this. What are your thoughts on this?
All of this stuff by these networks is utter nonsense. Anybody with any sense can get thousands of books, thousands of videotapes, all kinds of evidence by Patton, by Eisenhower, that the Holocaust was real. You don't have to go to some Germans, Austrians. Our own men were there. They knew.
And you certainly have lots of books that document a lot of things, Lou.
Yep.
And, you know, you're pretty much like a historian, I think, in many ways. But the thing is, we've never been told the full truth. Dr. Stan Monteith was bringing out a lot of it. And, of course, the work of Daryl Eberhardt here. If this is shocking to you, listeners, you need to pray about it. And we do need to be warned, because we're not saying there's an Inquisition coming right now. But we also know the warnings of Al Cuppet. That beloved ex-military man, and he needs prayer, by the way. He had some broken legs and I think a broken wrist from some kind of a motorbike accident. So we need prayer for his healing. But he believes that when the New World Order really comes in and has full control, there are two groups of people who will be rounded up for the camps. And it is the Christians, and it is the Jews. Because when we really think about it, if we're going to pick an antichrist religion, Judaism, that is the people who really believe in the Old Testament, the Orthodox Jews, they believe in the same God that we believe in. That's half of our Bible. So we can't really call that antichrist. But we can look at other religions that worship kundalini power and snake power and honor killings and things that really do show hatred for humanity. So we have to be very careful that we aren't caught up in something vile. And even within the Christian churches, Carol Matriciana, our late friend, was documenting the Christian Palestinianism because a lot of churches and colleges have turned against Israel. And we know that there are people in the New World Order running Israel, the political state, but that doesn't take away from the words of Almighty God that He set that up forever, the covenant forever with Abraham's seed. And that God has control over history, and He will have ultimate control over Jerusalem. So you see, people who are only going to look at it and criticize the secular state, they really aren't into their Bible, and they don't really see the truth. But let's get back to this topic. Also, I wanted to mention that Gary Call had a wonderful newsletter back, I think, last year in the summer. And supposedly there was this story about Abraham Lincoln, Daryl, before he ever became president, that he helped in a legal case in which a man won against the Jesuits. And then he was told, and this might have been by Father Chiniquy, that you are a dead man after you helped, that, you know, they never forget this. So, you know, we've wondered whether that was also a part of the reason they took out Lincoln.
Yes, and that was, they can get that book from Chick Publications, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. I gave the phone number, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, or they can go up to chick.com. Yes, because Lincoln saved him as a young lawyer. He saved Chiniquy from false charges against him. So,
I want to say one final thing.
And that is that the Holocaust deniers, I'm like Lou, I've read a lot in that area. There is so much information, so much testimony from the people that went through it. That needs to be rebuked anytime we hear Holocaust deniers.
And we really thank you for bringing out this truth. And next time, we're going to hear a lot more truth about the radical Islam. Thank you for listening. Good night.